Welcome to The Rollins Way, the podcast that redefines consulting with a purpose-driven focus on delivering exceptional value. Join us as we explore the principles, people, and projects shaping the future of infrastructure management. This is where innovation meets purpose, and every conversation delivers insights to inspire. Let's dive in.
Welcome to another episode of The Rollins Way podcast. Today, we are joined by Janine Cooper. Janine, how are you doing today?
Doing very well. Sun is shining and it's a good day.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I am from Michigan, born and raised, and living here now. I am a civil engineer and excited to work in the field of helping other people get from point A to point B safely. I have one daughter. I'm happily married. Life's pretty good.
No, that is great. So I'm going to get to the really good stuff right in the beginning. What do you like to do for fun?
Oh boy. I was once called a Renaissance woman. It's pretty true in some ways. I have a lot of interests, and whether it's learning how to bake homemade bread, woodworking, where I have everything from a lathe to CNC machine. I like to use woodworking as an artistic form of expression. I garden and can my own foods and work towards fitness goals. So I'm all over the board.
So based on what you're telling me, you must really love what you do at work because you have a lot of exciting hobbies and other things that you could be putting your time towards.
That is true. I do like what I do for work. And I will say that the thing I like most about whether it's this position at Rollins, which has been excellent, or even my previous positions, is that figuring out new things, right? Problem solving. And that's probably the definition of an engineer, right?
Yeah.
It's problem solving. But trying to find a solution to the thing that's not been solved or making something better, those are definitely things I've always been interested in.
You know, why did you decide to join Rollins? What's kind of that story behind you coming on board?
Excellent question. So right out of college, I started with the Michigan Department of Transportation. I already did a co-op with them as one of my summer internships, and I really found the public service aspect of this profession attractive. So I started there, but my now husband was finishing his master's we both went to Michigan Tech, and he got a job offer out on Maui. So it was hard to turn that opportunity down. So we packed up our stuff and we went across the ocean and stayed on Maui for about 3 years. I worked for a private consultant out there and realized that I enjoyed the public service aspect of it too much and wanted to go back to it. And there were limited opportunities on the island for that. So my career, we decided it was time to shift and we would follow my career for a while. So we came back to Michigan to be closer to family, maybe hopefully start a family. And then I started working for Michigan DOT again. And I stayed with them for about 19 years. All right. And for my last 13, I was in maintenance and operations, construction, traffic and safety. And in that time period, I had an amazing boss who was very forward-thinking and creative and innovative. And we were working to figure out how to improve the efficiency of our operations. We were looking at everything from user delay costs for traffic backups and trying to put calculations to that to justify making decisions about construction projects or traffic operations. And then looking at maintenance activities and figuring out how could we improve the efficiency of certain operations. And so what I realized we were doing in hindsight, it was like asset management, data-driven decision-making, coordinating assets to provide value for the overall agency and the assets. And when I first heard about Rollins and was introduced to what Rollins was doing and trying to set up, bringing all these DOT minds together, it was just an amazing opportunity, unlike anything I'd ever seen. So I just realized it was my time to go and pursue and try and bring this puzzle piece together and be on the cutting edge of something is something I've always found to be pretty attractive.
That is a great story. I love how you weaved in your career arc and your journey, and how your entire career has been building up to this time. Everything that you've done from the initial public service, being able to work for MDOT, and then being able to progressively see how to put all of these pieces together.
Somebody saw me recently and he said, "I always thought you looked a little lost. Like you were trying to find your niche. You were trying to find what you wanted to do." And he said, it really looks like you have found it. You know, I do feel like I have found a pretty awesome place to be and doing some work that's pretty amazing. And I'm inspired by and driven by and very, very continue to be very interested in."
Amazing story. When we are not working in our genius zone or kind of where how we're wired to be, people can see that. And they can also see when you're doing something that you really enjoy and it really fits. That is great. Okay. So let's talk about what you're currently doing for Rollins.
One of the most exciting projects I'm involved with Rollins is asset management, trying to stand up Rollins InfraConsult as a leader in asset management, setting up organizations so that they can align their goals and objectives with the way that they operate, more efficiently focusing their resources, whether it's time, it's money, people, equipment, whatever aspect it is, towards those goals and objectives to help them meet the needs of the organization.
Let's say, for instance, someone's just starting the company and they happen to come across this interview. Can you define what asset management is?
Well, asset management has several meanings in the field of civil engineering right now, right? So a lot of folks, when you say asset management, think of managing assets efficiently. And it might be one specific asset, it might be fleet or it might be pavement. However, when talking about asset management, it's more about the coordination of all these activities that provide value to the assets. So let me give you an example, one I like to use. Pavements have a very long life cycle. They start from their initial conception and go through construction. They will have some type of rehabilitation over the life of the asset to give it extended life. And you have maintenance folks who are out there attending to the reactive type things like potholes or drainage issues, right? Things that happen on a day-to-day. So you have, in essence, almost three entities touching that asset over its life. Are those three entities from the initial construction to the folks who are trying to give it a mid-life cycle boost to the maintenance folks who are reactively repairing things that aren't working, talking? Are they coordinating activities so that they're providing the most value for that asset? I mean, that I think is a great example of, you know, how those entities have to work together and what we're trying to achieve here with asset management from a big picture perspective.
What are the exciting things that you've been figuring out since you've been working with Rollins?
We have had an amazing variety of opportunities here with Rollins and asset management. Right now, we're working in the state of Michigan to help them share what asset management is within the communities in Michigan. So counties, cities, you know, we're not working with the state of Michigan necessarily directly, but trying to work with those folks who have shown an interest in asset management. They've attended the state of Michigan's Asset Management Champion program, and they want to take the next step in incorporating asset management into their entity, into their agency. And so, over this last year, we have been out to four agencies where we've brought in a one-day workshop and gone through the various elements of asset management from policy and leadership, data-driven decision-making, asset collection, policy, the communication pieces, the training, and the knowledge transfer to help them see how communicating across the various departments within their organization will help them be more efficient, be more effective in their services to their communities. So we're doing that in Michigan, and that's fun. We're going to continue that this next year. We're estimating another 6 to 7 agencies over this next calendar year. So we're going to be a bit busy traveling around the state doing some of those activities. And then we're in Tennessee right now, helping them set up an asset management division. And what's unique about this division is where it sits in the organization. It sits right underneath the chief engineer.
Oh, wow.
Some DOTs have an asset management unit that sits under planning, which is an okay place for it to be. But to be at a higher level decision-making authority will definitely be more an influence of change, right? So then in this office, the end goal is to help them set up level of services, right? Help them look at what are those gaps in level of service and how much money do they need if they want to improve their level of service in an area or an asset, and how does that impact the other assets in the organization, right? So what's that push-pull? Helping them to align their decision-making processes with data and keeping that line of sight to their goals and objectives as an organization. So that's been very exciting. It's still at its infancy. We've been helping them for about 6 months now, and it's going to be a slow moving wheel. Somebody once said to me, "You have a very exciting job working in roads and bridges and working with companies that, DOTs and helping them." And I said, "Yes." I said, "From a technical aspect, it's a lot of fun." And they were like, "That has to be a very technical job." And I said, "Having that background knowledge is important, but the bigger challenge here is changing hearts and minds. The biggest challenge here is culture. There's a balance to say you're doing a lot of great things, and your organization's been functioning very well over the last, well, most of them 100 years, right? DOTs have been around a long time. But technology is changing. There's some better ideas out there that may help you align your organization more efficiently." And that's sometimes a tough sell. But once they start seeing the benefits, when things start moving, then there's an excitement that grows and there's definitely interest to continue. And that's been a lot of fun.
That's great. So if you think about just a broad-based process or some quick tips, if you're working with a state DOT, an agency, to get them to make that shift, what would you say are the three most important things?
You have to learn what they're doing, what matters to them, and learn what's working well. You don't want to come in there and just start saying you need to change this and you're not doing that well. They're going to shut down on you. Nobody's going to listen. So figure out what's working well and then help them to see what the art of the possible is, whether it's what other DOTs have done or what national best practices look like, where technology's moving and changing and aligning with where they could potentially be. And then you can start in that third piece, integrating how the two can work together. You're already doing this. This can support these efforts if we change and modify or move in this direction this way.
Where would you connect that to the end result or the benefit that that agency would be able to experience or that office would be able to experience by incorporating the art of the possible?
Right now, almost all DOTs are challenged with resources of some type. People, right? A lot of vacancy turnovers or just lack of population coming up to feed the what once was a very big DOT that now needs to downsize. The pressures with funding, right? A lot of DOTs are struggling with their state funding matches. The federal dollars are a little, nobody's quite sure what's coming when, what the future looks like. And then an aging infrastructure, right? So you have a perfect storm of things going on where we have a tremendous amount of roads and bridges out there that are about the same age, deteriorating at the same rate. So those, the money, the people, and the deteriorating of conditions is really driving people to look at a better way of doing business. So if you can address those things by saying, okay, you want to change the organization, how it is structured, how it thinks, how it responds to things, here are various tools that can help you do that. Let's work with you to figure out which one best matches your need.
It's really good insight, particularly start with where they are and understanding what's working. You do not want to antagonize the agency or folks that you're going to be working with by coming in and saying, hey, we have it all figured out. What you've been doing doesn't work and you have to do it our way. You're absolutely right. You will alienate them and they will shut down.
And to be honest, in agencies that have been around for so long, they have good people. who care about what the agency is doing and their mission and how they achieve their goals. In a DOT, you're often responding to fires constantly, and you don't have that time to think and research and take a look outside of your agency to see who's doing what and how are they doing it better, and how can we incorporate that into what we're doing. As Rollins, that is the awesome part about what we do. With all of the various DOT backgrounds that we have, we can bring so many perspectives to another DOT or organization to say, oh yeah, okay, you know, this is what you have going on. This is, we've seen something like this. These are other ways people have solved this issue. Let us help you. Let us help you stand this up. Let's look into it, right? You're doing all these things great. Now let's take you that next step.
What's the most interesting thing that you've worked on at Rollins? But I think you've covered that in the work that you're doing with Michigan and the work that you are doing with Tennessee.
Right.
You did say there's some other things that you're doing with Rollins. Did you want to talk about any of those things?
Right. So I guess one piece that going back to the asset management piece, in addition to standing up a division with TDOT and working with Michigan, I also have taken advantage of an opportunity to join the Institute of Asset Management with an international body
Okay.
that's supporting asset management across the world. And have recently volunteered to help write one of the subject-specific guidelines for their new rollout of the 10-box model that they use to demonstrate how the asset management philosophy works. And so I'm working with a team of about eight folks from all over the world, Australia, Canada, Scotland, UK, to help write this document that's showing how organizational change management and asset management intersect, the importance of how that cultural piece, that changing of hearts and minds, is necessary to make asset management successful, to be able to explain how asset management is going to work and provide the efficiencies and effectiveness in the organization.
I think that's key. There's always this disconnect between the technical stuff that we're putting together and then what has to happen culturally and organizationally in order for that to be implemented. But if you don't have the technical piece and you come in and you start talking about the organizational and the culture piece, they can't hear you because they want the answers to the technical piece.
That's right.
And when you come with the technical piece, they say, wow, that sounds great. But you have never worked with my organization. You have no idea of the things that we're going to have to do to make that happen. And so it sounds like this document that you're working on is a perfect complement to what you already have.
I do think so. Once it's done, I'm looking forward to sharing it with the team. We live in this space constantly with every new client and every new opportunity that we take. We always have to balance that technical, yes, we know how this works and how to get this done, with now how do we convince your organization, the people within your organization, that these changes are going to be okay and good and for the benefit of
Yeah.
the organization.
Yeah, and I think part of that is, I don't know if it's so much convincing as continuing to agitate those problems that they have within the organization, just in terms of being able to say, hey, you know, we would love to do this, but it looks like you're running into these roadblocks. Here's a solution that we can provide to help you overcome those roadblocks. So it goes back to defining the problem from their perspective. We can see the issues all the time externally, but when you're able to define the problem from their perspective, then
Yes.
you're able to offer what you're doing as a solution, not to a universal problem, but to the exact problem that they're facing. When I was coming up, a lot of the asset management was contract maintenance based. Then it evolved to more of a reporting and kind of oversight structure in the asset management that was the maintenance base. You know, we start calling it performance-based maintenance or contract maintenance. It kind of just like took its own little piece over there. And then
Yes.
asset management continued, you know, as an industry continued to evolve.
Yes. Yes. You're 100% right. So the asset management that's evolving beyond just contract maintenance is starting to grab a little bit of a foothold, and it can happen at a a smaller municipality level. It's happening there, and it's happening at some of the larger DOT and national perspectives. So, FHWA is also promoting these concepts and trying to get DOTs to create asset management plans. However, right now the focus is primarily on pavements and bridges, right? But a DOT has a lot more to worry about than pavements and
Yes.
bridges. Granted, those are the biggest assets and they get a lot of the attention, but they're not the only thing a DOT does, right? So asset management is starting to look at the bigger picture of all of these entities. To your point earlier on our example, where we have pavements, you also have the users of that corridor, right? And the efficiencies and the reliability of the transportation on that corridor, right? And how does that affect the life cycle of that corridor? So people are really starting to take a look at those concepts now. They're not sure how to apply them. Unfortunately, you need good data into the system in order to help you make good decisions based on the data. And
Yes.
there's sometimes a gap there, right? So trying to collect, whether it's culverts or the history of pavements over its life, sometimes there's a need for more information. But that level of service concept, is it that applying more than just level of service on a roadway for capacity? It's also now applying to what are the standards you're providing to that asset? And if you're not meeting that standard, how do you close the gap? Those are the discussions that asset management is now supporting.
Is there anything else, any topic that we haven't covered that you want to make sure that we cover?
The team of people that we have here is unprecedented. I meet some of the new folks that come on board and I get a chance to work with them, and I think, where have you been all my life? Right? It's really incredible the quality of folks that are part of the same organization, and it just lifts everybody up, right? It just makes us all better.
Janine, I really appreciate you joining us today. You've told a lot of great stories about your career and your journey. There's going to be people that hear this interview and they're going to think, oh, am I going to be asked to be on a podcast? Is it going to be overwhelming? How has your experience been?
James, you've been excellent to work with, and I appreciate your kind, open nature. When Scott first asked me to do this podcast, we both laughed because he knew that this was going to make me uncomfortable, and I knew that this was going to make me uncomfortable. But I also like a challenge, and I know that this is an area in which I could use some more practice. Talking about myself is not something I'm inclined to do unless it's career-based, but I do appreciate being asked for the opportunity to share about asset management and the wonderful opportunities that Rollins has given me to do this.
And just for the record, Janine, you've done a fantastic job.
Thank you for tuning in to The Rollins Way. Remember, this podcast is for you, our incredible team. So if you have ideas or stories to share, let us know. Until next time, keep striving for excellence and delivering unmatched value.